Hey, y'all. Welcome back for another episode of the Inner Beauty Reigns podcast. This is your fearless host, Erica Anderson. Today, I wanted to start a new series. This series is around some of the songs that have been released by Andre 3000. Okay, listen. Dre has been one of my favorite artists since I was a teenager. I grew up listening to Outkast. I had an uncle who I remember he had the Aquemini album. And even as a kid, I remember hearing the title of that album and just feeling something. Oh man, I'll never forget that. And over time, as I would listen to their songs on the radio, it was always good music. It was always music to bop to, but it was always music that gave me a message. So I want to share some of the things that I gleaned from these songs and things that I feel are really, really important today, especially being that Andre's most recent album. So for those of you who don't know who Andre 3000 is, he is the second part or the other person who is in a group that is called Outkast. Okay, so based on my recollection and based on my knowledge, they never did any official disbanding. They still refer to themselves as Outkast. They still consider themselves a group. Andre just decided at a certain point that he wanted to go a different direction. Over time, he released information about, you know, just dealing with certain things like anxiety that just put him in a space where performing was not something that felt healthy for him. And so I totally got it. Like, I remember when I listened to, I don't know if it was an interview I listened to or if it was an article I read. But at any rate, it was a credible source. I'll find it and post the link. But at the end of the day, what touched me about his choice was the fact that he didn't push himself to give the world what they wanted, although he understood the magnitude of his craft. That was big for me, because if you look at the entertainment industry, when you look at fame and people having notoriety for their gifts and the things that they do in this world, you see so many times these people get to a place where they are overwhelmed, where they feel like they don't have anybody, where they feel like they're by themselves in this world, although they are consistently surrounded by people. And I think it's important that we take a step back and recognize these things. And, I feel like any person who is into personal development already has kind of this natural affinity to look at these things and say, you know what, and really just be intentional about cultivating a life for themselves that is healthy according to what their purpose is in this world, and being intentional about stepping back when they're feeling overwhelmed or feeling like they're not supported in the way that they should be, or whatever the case may be. Ultimately, I was really, really proud of, and so for those who don't know, he's also affectionately known as Three Stacks. And so stack is 1,000, 3,000. Okay, yeah, you get it. So the thing that really intrigued me about it was seeing him go into his own shell, do his own thing, because he did do features over the years after they released their last album. So their last album, if I remember correctly, was Speaker Box, The Love Below. It was a double album, about 2 hours long. My favorite album was The Love Below, okay? And namely because as I listened, it felt like a score. It felt like a score. Oh my gosh, it was an immersive experience. It felt like an exhibit at a museum. And then the first thing, speaking of museum, that comes to mind when I think about that album is a song that he did called Behold a Lady. And at that time, I was still a teenager. I can't remember how old I was, but I just remember being a teenager and hearing him say in the lyrics, one day we'll have to visit a museum to see what a lady really looks like. And I had to sit with that. As a teenage girl, I had to sit with this man that I admired saying the act and the image of a lady is something that we will one day have as a rarity. That bothered me. I'm so serious. It bothered me to hear him say that, but it was an app. Okay, so I'm sorry. I'm getting a little... Okay, because I had about 15 thoughts come at the same time. I was bothered by it, not because of the fact that he acknowledged it, but bothered that we live in a world that would come to a place where being a lady, I would be in the minority. Even then, I knew that I would become more of a lady than the tomboyish era that I had at that time. I grew up around a bunch of boys, so it was just, and I went to the Boys and Girls Club at one point. I went to Girls Incorporated too, but my experience at Boys and Girls Club was one that was life-changing. But that's another day's podcast. Even being in the tail end of being a tomboy, knew that I would become a lady and was, oh gosh, I don't know how to describe what I feel when I say that. I guess we can, the other thought that came to me is how in my journey of personal development, I have come to acknowledge that there are absolute truths that we have to acknowledge in this life. And when we don't acknowledge those absolute truths, it breeds a lack of productivity in our journey of personal development. Because when you embrace those absolute truths, it allows you to navigate life. It allows you to navigate situations differently. For example, absolute truth. You know your man is a cheater. Okay, so what do you do with that information? You can either understand how that really affects you internally and make a move. And when I say make a move, meaning decide that you're no longer going to tolerate being in a relationship where you're being cheated on. Or you can embrace that absolute truth and say, okay, I know he's a cheater. I expect that this is what he's going to do. These are the boundaries that I'm going to set around that. And I'm just going to stick it out with him. I mean, because reality is women make that choice all the time. Men make that choice all the time. But that's something that they may not talk about publicly because a lot of us are going to look at them like they're crazy. Like, why would you settle for being with someone who cheats on you? But reality is another absolute truth that I've come to acknowledge in this life is that what works for one person or what doesn't work for one person is acceptable to another person. So this is one of the reasons why, as I've been on my journey, I've been more intentional about not necessarily telling people what they should do and how they should handle things and just share the truth of my experience and what I've learned in this life. And I've been blessed to have a lot of people who, like, they're like, you know, that resonates with me or that's a great idea. And in other instances, I have people who are like, you know what? That's true. But then they still continue choosing whatever it is that they have acknowledged isn't serving them. So we have to learn to let people live their experiences and make choices based on what they're learning and how they're growing. That's just what it is. But anyway, back to Three Stacks. As I have been thinking about that song, and I actually had intended to pull up the lyrics. So, and this is an impromptu podcast. So if you see me bouncing around on my bed or in my bathroom, I'm doing my best to be still. But I'm going to pull up these lyrics and we're going to analyze these lyrics today. And so I don't want to take too much time to do it, because I understand that now we live in the land of podcasts and videos and audios and short form videos and all of that. And so I want to respect your time, and I appreciate you being here. Behold the Lady. Lyrics. Here we go. All right. So, whoever did these lyrics did not, you know, Sophistophone? No, he said Sophistafunk. And so that's one of the things that I was reading an article about that album a couple of days ago. And I love music, but I haven't always been intentional about understanding kind of like the, what's the word? The different elements of what that music encompasses. I have come to a point where I love all sorts of music. Country, I'm more of a fan of ambient meditation music. One of my favorite artists right now is FKJ. FKJ, Masego, oh my gosh, Darius, what is his name? Well, there's an artist named Darius, but there's another artist named Darius, but he has a last name. He has a song called Higher in Love. Oh gosh, that song is I love it. But anyway, so as my musical taste has gotten deeper, I have been more intentional about understanding the names of the elements that I like in songs. And so when I was listening or reading this article a couple of days ago about The Love Below, I just kind of had this, and let me just say, the Speaker Box, The Love Below, the whole album is lit. But the thing is, Speaker Box was more hip hop oriented. It was more, like beats and hi-hats and that whole thing. And I love drums. I absolutely love drums. Now, there were kind of funk elements and, you know, some other things, but it was primarily like the rap thing, which I enjoyed. Like, it, I remember at that time I had a job that every morning when I pulled into the parking deck, I had Tomb of the Boom. I can't remember the name of the song, but the beat was just stupid. Okay, so I had my first car at that time. Every time I pulled into that parking deck, I was bumping that song when I first got that car. Oh my gosh, you can tell me nothing. But anyway, so that was a song I played when I wanted to bump. But on a regular day, when I just wanted to like chill and listen to something nice, when I say nice, like, The Love Below for me was one of the albums that had the most diverse sound for me. That was one of the first albums I would listen to, like the full length album. Like, I would just play it from the first song to the end. And I remember when I realized the sequence of the songs, the last song on the album is called A High Note. I think it was called A High Note. And I just kind of had a moment. I was like, wait a minute, he ended it on a high note? Like, are you kidding me right now? The dude is a genius. Oh my gosh. So anyway, getting a little off track. So Behold the Lady, we talked about how that song was impactful for me, because even as a tomboy, I knew that I would become a lady. And hearing him say in particular that, you know, it will become rare to see a lady. But reality is, even at that time, it just kind of blew my mind to see and experience over this last 20-something years the transition of what it looks like to be a lady. And I say what it looks like, I mean, a classic lady is a classic lady, in my opinion. So that look will never really change. As a matter of fact, I feel like as technology continues to advance, the look of a lady will only evolve. But that's another day's podcast, honey. even in seeing the transition over the years of how women have chosen to redefine what a lady is, or are kind of picking and choosing what elements of being a lady, you know, they're going to embrace. Ain't no judgment here. This is a no judgment zone. But at the same time, I feel like there are certain things that a lady keeps to herself. We don't discuss what we do in the bedroom in the public. As a matter of fact, we don't feel the need to be public in a lot of ways. And if you do see us publicly, we're going to look good, and you're going to get a good vibe from us, and you're going to get it. And so as a Southern woman, becoming a lady was kind of a byproduct of embracing Southern hospitality from the inside out. Oh, y'all, I've been preaching for the last 2 days. And I only say that because the conversations I've been having with people, it has really been pulling some things out of me. And I'm really, really grateful for it, because I feel a certain flow when that happens. But listen, embracing Southern hospitality from the inside out was something that allowed me to learn self-love. It allowed me to learn how to have grace for myself. It helped me to learn how to present myself to the world. It helped me learn so many different things. But the byproduct of that is that me filling myself with that and then allowing it to overflow was the key to me learning how to have better relationships with the people around me. And that overflowed into my interactions with just people in general. So that element is something that I don't take for granted, and something that I'm really, really grateful for. But anyway, back to the song. Whoever did these lyrics that I'm looking at, I just Googled these lyrics, and they put Sophistaphone, but it's supposed to be Sophistafunk, F-U-N-K, not funk. Aristocats, distinguished dogs, clean up your acts, pull up your pants, ladies and gents, please act like you got some sense. Okay, we gotta pause. Okay, because one of my favorite Southern euphemisms is act like you got some sense. Now, that may not be grammatically correct, but at the end of the day, you understand what's being said. You understand what's being said here. What I love is that even in the midst of this transition of the world into, and so AI has been around for much longer than we've been talking about it, okay? Like, I remember seeing that movie Artificial Intelligence back in, I think it was like 2001, 2002, with the boy who had the teddy bear that had the AI, and his dad worked for some big tech company, and he had to, you know, manage the technology that went into this bear, and they created the boy. It was, oh man, let me tell you something. That movie changed the game for me, because when it got to a point where it showed like the future of the world, oh man, I was like, I won't be here to see that, but that's crazy. So I try as much as possible to pour into my children in a way that they understand that, you know, like you are only going to be here for so long, but the impact that you make while you're here is important. But anyway, AI has been around for much longer than we've been, you know, this year in particular, you know, just, well, the last couple of years, maybe the last 18 months, just kind of the wave of information and emotion that has come behind AI and some of the different legalities surrounding it. I feel like that has been a big thing when it comes to how things have transitioned, because you can manipulate and make and create things, and it's just, it's a lot. Anyway, that I feel is a part of what has been affecting the mindset of people. Because when, just an example, I talk to my daughter all the time about screen time, about what you're doing on your phone. I have parameters set, screen time parameters set, because the short form video conditions your mind in a way that shortens your attention span. And if you're not intentional about spending time doing focused activities, this can affect your and beyond that, because you have the shorter attention span and it becomes difficult to focus. Beyond that, I have seen that it affects people's emotional intelligence. And so I feel like Dre has been beyond his time for quite some time. And there's a wisdom that's there that is divine, in my opinion. Divine wisdom is something that will have you doing and saying things that are beyond what people can understand or comprehend. And then they look at you like you're crazy. But then there comes a point where there's some sort of manifestation of what you're talking about. And then it's like, oh, damn, like Dre said this, or, you know, Erica said this. And it's one of these things that I've learned that you just have to be the fullness of who you are. And I talked about being the fullness of who you are in a carousel post that I put up last night. So if you're not following me on Instagram or Facebook, make sure you go over. It's Inner Beauty Reigns, no extra characters, and just follow the posts that I put up, because like some of these things, I've had people inbox me like, you have no idea how on time that was or how on point that was. And I just be flowing from what comes to me. But when I talked about the fullness, like embracing the fullness of who you are, that includes accepting the things that come up that may not necessarily be agreeable to other people. Because I just went through my timeline on Friday when Andre's album was released, and people were just, man, I don't want to listen to him play no flute. Man, this is a disservice to his fans. Man, I mean, people were like pissed that the album was basically meditation music. They wanted Dre to rap. And so I know I'm supposed to be analyzing the song, but one of the things that I really want to bring home is the importance of recognizing that people evolve. And when I say recognizing it, it's not even just recognizing it. It's about embracing it. And if you don't want to embrace that somebody has evolved beyond who they were when you met them, or, you know, beyond who they were at the time that you met them or dealt with them, leave them alone, period. Just leave them alone. Because at the end of the day, you can't make anybody do anything. And this is why power and control. Last year, I did a series about personal power. And that has kind of become the foundation of my message now. Because when you understand your personal power, it allows you to embrace the fullness of who you are. When you own your personal power, it allows you to move through life with that evolution. And although sometimes it may be hard to embrace that evolution, you still are able to do what you need to do on a personal level, because that evolution is connected to purpose. And here's the thing. So Dre releases this meditation music after, and I'm calling it meditation music. I'm not quite sure if there's anything in particular he calls it yet, but I can't wait to see if he does any interviews about this album. I'm excited to hear what he has to say, because there was no announcement. There was no marketing. He released this album. And here's the thing. The last album, that Love Below, Speak About the album, it went diamond. Okay, so if you don't know about it, you must have been under a rock, because I mean, like, it was Grammy nominated and all sorts of notoriety connected, Billboard 100, all sorts of stuff. So they did their thing. They operated in their gift. And listen, let me also say that I love Big Boy and Andre equally. Okay, I just gravitate more to Andre, and that's just like, he's just one of my favorite people. But Big Boy, that's
that's my dog.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I love his music too, and I love seeing the impact that he makes in this world. I actually, I follow him on Instagram, and over the years, just seeing how he has, like, some of his entrepreneurial ventures, cater to wildlife and cater to animals and animal welfare and stuff like that, and doing ethical things with these animals. And it's a blessing to me to see a black man doing these things, because a lot of people think that black men ain't about nothing. They think that it's just a fallacy to see a black man doing something decent with his life after having a rap career. And I just, and that's one of the things. If you follow me on any of my platforms, you know that I have a love for the black man that is just special. And it's rooted in wanting to see the black man be the fullness of who he is and be the blessing that he is to this world. I don't think enough of y'all know how much of a blessing you are. I've had experiences this year that were traumatic, and God keeps surrounding me with men who are protective of me. I even have family members who are now more protective than I've ever seen them, and they don't know anything about some of the things that I've experienced this year. But it's like the Spirit has just moved these men into my life in a way that is reinforcing my understanding that I am protected. And I remember maybe about a month ago, I had stopped at a gas station, and yes, it was nighttime. I'm not your fearless leader for nothing. Like, I really do live this shit, okay? And it's not me being stupid or me not being mindful, but sometimes I have to stop at the gas station at nighttime. So I make sure that I'm covered and protected, if you know what I mean. And I do what I gotta do. But anyway, I had to walk into the gas station on my way out. The guy that was sitting in this car, I can't remember what he said to me, but I'm a lady, so if you want to talk to me, you can come pump this gas. And the way I said it, I thought that he would not oblige. But as I got to the gas pump and got ready to put the pump, you know, in the car so that I can get, because I usually sit inside my car. I know you're not supposed to do that, but whatever. I was getting gas at night. I was going to go sit in my car while I waited for the gas to pump. Well, when I put the pump into the gas tank, I turned around. No, I can't remember the sequence of how it happened, because it happened so fast. All I know is I heard his voice, and he was standing too damn close to me. And it gave me anxiety. Like, it just, like, it kind of messed me up in the moment, because I'm like, why are you standing so close to me? And he was like, oh, you said you wanted me to pump your gas. And I was like, yeah, but you didn't even actually say that you were going to come pump the gas. You just sat there. And so I did, like, so you're standing too close. I was like, can you back up? So he did actually back up. But then he continues trying to get at me. And when I say get at me, he continues trying to, like, holler at me, try to get my number, whatever. I knew in my mind, just based on this interaction, that he was not somebody I wanted to deal with. And that's something, the more you learn about yourself and the more you pay attention to your spirit and the way that you feel when you're in somebody's presence, it don't take but 2 seconds for you to realize, no, you're not for me. But the unfortunate reality is that we live in a time where people don't have the emotional intelligence to accept rejection. So he continued talking and prying and, you know, whatever. And I ended up, you know, like, just give me a number and I'ma text you. Now, yes, I lied, but that's not the focus here, okay? I put his number in my phone, and when he walked off, I deleted it. Well, on the other side, on the pump on the opposite side of where I was another black man. And he literally came around and he was like, are you okay? And at that point, I was damn near in tears because of how overwhelmed I was. But I was okay, because the man had walked off at that point. But the fact that this stranger, because he was already done pumping his gas, he came around, asked me if I was okay, and he was like, that was really weird. He was like, I'm sorry you had to experience that. And I was like, wow, God just places people where I need them, even in public at random times. It blows my mind sometimes. Yet I've learned not to be surprised by these things, because people don't act like they got some sense. We're going to circle back, because I didn't intend to actually go off on a tangent there. But we live in a time, we live in a world where sensibility is no longer kind of the foundation of character for a lot of people. Sensibility has gone out the door. I feel, and this is just my assessment, and I'm just kind of flowing here in my thoughts, but when we look at sensibility, it requires the ability to be aware, okay? There's an awareness that takes place. There's an assessment that happens, and sometimes this is something that happens in a matter of seconds, and then sometimes it's just, you know, over time you gather information and then you have a sense of what has taken place or how you should move forward, whatever the case may be. So when we talk about sense, there's awareness that's required. But living in a time where we have so much coming at us on a daily basis, that sensibility is, it's dimmed in a sense. There's a better word for it, but it's on the tip of my tongue. But sensibility is overshadowed by these things. So most of us, and I'm working towards not being in the rat race, because I enjoy peace. And I'll let ripping and running, as my granddaddy would say, it ain't it. But ultimately, a lot of people get up every day and it's a rush. 24 hours every day. I gotta get up. I gotta get ready to go. I gotta get these kids to school. I gotta get to work. I only have a 30-minute lunch break. I only have an hour lunch break. I get off work. I gotta deal with traffic. I gotta pick these kids up. I gotta make sure there's food on the table. Somebody got homework. Somebody got in trouble today. They need to be talked to. Somebody else done made a mess over here. And so this scenario is probably a single parent, okay? But then there's the person who may get up and they don't rush to get to work, but then they get to work and they have, you know, 10-hour work days, and the people that they deal with on a daily basis are draining them internally. So by the time they get home, they don't want to have a social life. They want to go get back in their bed, and they get up and they do it again tomorrow because they got student loans that aren't being forgiven. Okay. And then there's scenarios where people don't have their life as together. They don't have aim. They don't have purpose. They have purpose, but they don't understand that purpose. And so here they get up every day and they're merely existing. But then the things that come up for them every day are the byproduct of their lack of productivity in life. And now they don't have the emotional intelligence to seek help or to recognize what those issues are and just execute to do better, or partner with the right people who can help them get where they need to go in life. And so they're merely existing, and a part of their coping mechanism is scrolling social media every day. So their mind is being conditioned to not have that attention span or that ability to focus. And it's like just this ongoing. So anyway, you get the point that I'm making, that people have different scenarios, but they're still kind of in this rat race, and it's affecting the psyche. It's affecting the ability to respond. It's affecting sensibility. It affects you're desensitized. That was the word I was looking for. We are desensitized. We live in a time where we're desensitized, and I won't go into all of, we'll cover that another day. Acting like you got some sense is not just acting like you got some sense. That's just the funny way that we put it in the South. But at the end of the day, And so most of you may have this experience in being a Southerner, being from a Black household. And this is just demographically what it is, okay? Like, a lot of us grew up in environments where when we left to go to the store, if your mama took you to the store, if your granny took you to the store, because I can remember times where granny was like, y'all get somewhere and sit down. I'm going to the store. I'll be back. Don't tear up my house. I'm inclined to name this podcast episode Don't Tear Up My House, but maybe I'll think about it. But anyway, I remember that sometimes, and it wasn't that often. It wasn't that often. But when she did take us to the store, and I feel like I ended up at the store with her more than the boys in the house. And I don't, maybe that was just kind of, I don't know why that was. Maybe I need to unpack that. I don't know why that was, but I just remember we would be in the store, and it was usually my brother who was with me, Randy. Shout out to Rat. I'm the oldest and he's the second oldest. But we would be in the store, and he wasn't ripping and running because she didn't play that. You don't run through this damn store. You don't act like you ain't got no sense in this store. But that's what she would say before we get out the car or on the way into the grocery store. Don't get in here and act like you ain't got no sense. That was something I consistently heard growing up. And so it wasn't about the act. It wasn't about faking. It was about presentation. It was about not making her look like y'all not being raised right. Because although I didn't have the dynamic with my grandmother that I do with my daughter, I saw through action the foundation of a lot of what I'm supposed to do as a woman. And although a lot of that included domestic duties, my house is organized and clean like 92% of the time. And 6% of that is I have a toddler, so that's just what it is. And the other 2% is grace. Sometimes I need to come and go and I leave stuff everywhere, but best believe at some point I'm gonna get sick of seeing it being out of place and I'm gonna put it back. But that was a part of what my grandmother taught me: sense and sensibility. Pay attention to what's going on with you. Read the room. That's what sense is, reading the room. Can you sense what is going on here? Because what happens when you sense what's going on here, you get a revelation of something and it helps you to navigate the situation. Sensibility is reading the room. Maybe that's the podcast title. I'm kind of working this out as I'm talking, y'all, so just bear with me. Reading the room. Act like you got some sense. I got a couple of ideas. But anyway, so ultimately, this part of the song, I remember when I first learned the lyrics and I was like, what? He's schooling people out here. He's reminding people of what we're supposed to be doing. Because there are some basics to existing as a human that are just like basic information for living an effective life. It's basic information for making positive connections with people. It's basic information for success. Act like you got some sense. And even though we live in a time where we're often desensitized, this is all the more reason to unplug, go meditate, pray, worship, whatever it is that you do. Get your mind together so that you can act like you got some sense. Anyway, so further down in the lyrics, he said, so the next line is, you know what I really want to know? Where do all the good girls go? What clubs they hang out? And truth be told, clubs aren't inherently bad, but at the same time, it's not an environment that some people feel is conducive for their mental and physical well-being. I personally am absolutely in love with my personal space. My personal space is one of my favorite things about existing. My children are the only people who are allowed to be in my personal space without asking. If you don't ask me to be in my personal space, you might not get a pleasant response. I don't mean I'm gonna go off, but I might look at you like, "What's how you doing? How can I help you?" Just like the guy at the gas station. Why are you this close to me? Because I believe a part of respecting other people is giving people space. Now, yes, that might be rooted in the fact that I enjoy my personal space, but I also think that it's just appropriate to allow people, like when I think about personal space, I think about that. And so if you're into, you know, spirituality and different things like that, your aura field is kind of what I consider to be your personal space. But in my opinion, the aura can be bigger depending on how much you've cultivated yourself internally. And so that's another day's podcast. I'm actually going to take note of all the times in this podcast that I've actually said that, because I actually have some deeper things about those things that I want to share. But when it comes to just the basic space of what your aura or personal space is, if you stretch your arms out, like just extend your arms, if you go in a circle, like if you do a 360 degree turn, that is your aura. Nobody should be within arm's length of you if you don't welcome that. And so that's how I try to execute that as I'm in public spaces, or even if I'm not necessarily in public spaces, but if I'm around people. Now, obviously that changes, like if I'm at my aunt's house for Thanksgiving and, you know, we're family. So if I plop down on a seat next to my auntie, that's not a big deal because she's my aunt and I love her and I don't mind sitting that close to her. But if I get on the MARTA train, which is a rare event in these days, I typically like try to stand. Like I just find, you know, one of the poles on the opposite side where, you know, you can stand if it's a full train, because I'd rather be standing than sitting if somebody has to be there close to me. And even in being a rideshare driver, because that's something that I've done for a number of years, I sometimes have to mentally prepare myself for it because strangers are entering into my space. Now, I will say that since I have been strategizing more in maximizing that opportunity, I only attract a certain demographic of people. And when I say, and not even demographic, but a certain quality of person. So I'm grateful for that, because now I don't second guess who's about to get in my car. I don't have any reservations about the people who sit in my vehicle, because these are people who are paying a certain amount of money to be able to take this ride and they have shit to lose. So they're not going to get in my car and act like they ain't got no sense. Anyway, personal space. So that's something that I've learned to respect. And something that, you know, when people notice that you pay attention to things like that, they understand that your mind, it, you know, like people recognize these things, and it has breeded opportunities for me. It has allowed me to gain clients through doing rideshare. I remember back in January, I met a lady and we, you know, we're talking, we're chopping it up, and I can't remember what I said. But I, you know, started talking about the first book that I wrote and blah, 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 blah. And she's like, "Oh, you write?" And I was like, "Yeah, I write and I edit." And she was like, "Oh my gosh, I might need a new editor." And from that, this woman booked a project with me every month for almost 6 months. And when I say booked a project, I'm talking about full length projects. I created training courses for this woman. I created books for this woman, like published books for this woman. Job descriptions, like she ran a company and needed, you know, just some foundational things in place to, and so anyway, so if you didn't know that, yes, I do written materials, and I say written materials because, yeah, I've done brochures and resumes, but I've also done full-length books, both fiction and nonfiction. I've done children's books, and so it's just something that I know how to do. So if that's something that you need or are interested in, hit me up, editingbyerica.com. Anyway, so meeting that lady and just this, all of this work that I was able to do for her, all because I was allowing myself to flow in what I was saying, but I also was just intentional about being the fullness of who I am in that conversation. But when people can sense that you are about something, it incites them to want to participate or to partake of or to work with you. So anyway, as these lyrics continue, he gives a visual of what he sees. So he says, "I see you standing on the wall. Clap, clap, you deserve it all." And so there's one line in this song. It says, "Behold a lady. Candy-coated unicorns are quite hard to find." He was talking about the rarity of a lady even then. And what was this, 2002? I want to say it was like 2002 or something like that. It could have been a little bit after that. Maybe 2003, 2004. Where's the year on this thing? It's not giving me a year. Hold on, let me see. I want to know what the year was. So I can't remember. I know this was around the time I had my first job. Well, it wasn't my first job, but it was the beginning of my corporate career. "Behold a Lady," song by Outkast. Come on, y'all. Released 2003. So yes, I wasn't too far off. But yeah, released in 2000. So even in 2003, this man acknowledged the rarity of seeing a lady. That's just very interesting. That was 20 years ago. That's just crazy. Anyway, so in these lyrics, he acknowledges the consistency in what a lady is. He says, "Today I might snow, tomorrow I'll rain. 3,000's always changing, but you stay the same. And I need that. Hey, I need that in my life." This is a man acknowledging the stability in being with a lady. And what I also love is that he's been showing us and telling us all along, y'all, that I might be different in the future. He's been saying that in so many words. And I know that not all rap lyrics are to be taken literally, but I feel like Dre being true to himself is an example to the world, but to the black man in particular, that it's okay to embrace your evolution. Hello, black man. It is okay to embrace your evolution. You are not always going to be on the block. Hello. You are not always gonna be running the streets. Hello. Okay, so I think I know what the title of this podcast is gonna be now. Oh my gosh. Okay, anyway. Thank y'all for rocking with me, for hanging out with me. As these lyrics continue, he says, "When I feel washed up and inadequate and throw all my songs away, no matter how mad I get, you make me smile. Black man, you deserve to smile." Pause. You deserve the same smile that you give to this world. Smile more. Maybe one day
Oh, wait, no, it doesn't say maybe. Behold a lady. Maybe they disappeared with the dinosaurs. That's funny. He says, your mama's old fashioned. Your daddy don't play. You'll always be this lovely because they raised you that way. Hallelujah. Come on, Southern roots. That's just a part of the culture as kids being raised in the South. And I'm pretty sure there are other areas of, you know, of the states where kids were raised in religious households and, you know, they had certain things that were expected and, you know, there were standards that are a little different than how some people are raising their kids today. It was kind of normalized to raise your kids in a two-parent household. And I say kind of this, you know, whether it, and I lived with my grandparents, so I did have a two-parent household, but I do realize that that is not everybody's story. But ultimately, it's not uncommon being raised in the South for you to be required at that time to go to church every Sunday, and for God and Jesus to be a regular part of your life, for praying to be a consistent part of your life, saying grace before you eat your food. All these things were just a part of the culture of growing up Black in the South. And so, and what I love, I have a friend named Toya, and she's from Mississippi. I'm from Georgia, but there's so much of our childhood that just we reminisce about, the honeysuckles and sweet tea and magnolia trees and just so many different things, being in our grandparents' house. And for her, she had a grandmother who would like go fishing and hunt and do all these different things. So she had a chance to do that with her grandmother. That's something I love and admire about her life. The fact that she had the opportunity to spend that type of quality time with her grandmother and her grandfather, or her grandparents in general, because she had both grandparents on both sides, on her mom and dad's side. So that's just, I absolutely love that for her. I was actually raised by my grandparents. So although granddaddy didn't take me hunting, I watched my granddaddy do things around the yard that just, I'm like, when I see men who don't cut grass or see men who don't do yard work, it used to be weird to me because I'm like, you don't cut grass, what? You don't do yard, what? Excuse me? And it's not about judging them. I've had to learn to recognize that not all men were raised like that. But I consistently saw that. Even my uncles, I've always seen men get up and go to work. And that work didn't necessarily have to be the job that they went to make money to be self-sufficient. Sometimes it was being out in the yard and making sure that the yard was presentable. Or I remember granddaddy would get in the truck and he would go, people needed a ride. So he'd go, you know, take Miss Annie to the grocery store or take whoever, you know, to their doctor appointment. Granddaddy has always served his community. And so growing up with a man who was intentional about serving the community, that's my expectation as a lady, to see a man executing. But anyway, this song continues to just spread a level of wisdom about what it is to be a lady, but also a perspective on what it is to benefit from being connected to a lady. And so, of course, I talked earlier about how he says, you know, one day we'll have to visit a museum he says, sad, but one day our kids will have to visit museums to see what a lady looks like. And so with that, I just want to say that learning to be a lady for me has been a journey that has been fruitful and something that I'm grateful for. And to become the epitome of a song that, you know, I would bop to 20 years ago. But to also be in this space because seeing what not being a lady gets people is a part of what has, I guess, driven this process for me. So anyway, this song is something that I believe is a part of that foundation as well, though, because hearing what he has to say and hearing this perspective helped me to understand the positive byproducts of being a lady. Now being a lady, like being a lady in 2023 is not necessarily frowned upon, but a lot of people see it as a weakness because it's the aesthetic. It's kind of the aesthetic that, in my opinion, you know, kind of throws people off. People have questions. I have been in public spaces at different times and having kind of a distinguished look and not following stereotypes and different things like that. People ask me questions like, what do you do? Like, what's your, you know, of course they want to know your name, but then they want to know what you do. And because I am purpose driven and my work is rooted in the words that I put out to the world, whether it's speaking, writing, or helping other people with their words, you know, it's work that is rooted in effort that's not necessarily physical, if that makes sense. So my look in doing what I do can be as distinguished as I want it to be, can be as classy as I want it to be. And there's that element of Black excellence that drives that for me. I love being Black excellence. Black excellence has catapulted my life, and I'm grateful for it. So behold, I am a lady and I fully embrace it. And I'm grateful that I get to exist in this world in the fullness of my ladyhood and that I get to impact this world in positive ways. It feels good to do that. It feels good to be an asset to this world. And a part of my purpose and my work is to continue cultivating people to embrace the goodness that's in them, to embrace the class that's within them, because I believe it's there. You just have to tap into it. So anyway, that is today's podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. Of course, if you have not visited innerbeautyreigns.com, I have books, I have services, namely human design services that help you to understand more about the fullness of who you were created to be. So if you want more information, please feel free to shoot me an email, info@innerbeautyreigns.com, or again, you can book those services on the website. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to y'all in the next episode.